السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما یقیناً اللہ اور اس کے فرشتے نبی پر رحمت بھیجتے ہیں, اے وہ لوگوں جو ایمان لائے ہو.
اللہ اینڈ ہز اینجلز سینڈ بلیسنگز آن دا پروفیٹ. او یو ہو بلیو, یو آلسو انوک بلیسنگز آن ہم اینڈ سلیوٹ ہم ود دا سیلیوٹیشن آف پیس. This verse clearly illustrates that Allah the Almighty bestows His mercy upon the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. His angels are also invoking prayers and mercy upon the Holy Prophet. Therefore, in such a case, regardless of the various ploys and stratagems of those people who wish to halt or diminish the progress of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, they will never succeed. Those who assert false allegations against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mock and ridicule him and believe that by doing so they will triumph, in fact dwell in the land of the fools. Their conspiracies and efforts can do no harm to this beloved Prophet of God the Almighty. The purpose with which God Almighty sent the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will continue to be achieved by the grace of God the Almighty. In this present age, God Almighty has opened many more avenues to achieve that purpose of propagating the beautiful message of Islam by sending the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet. Thus God the Almighty sent the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet for all nations and for all times, and is also providing the means for his succor through his grace and his mercy. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's opponents were never able to succeed before this, and neither will they succeed now. This has been decreed by God the Almighty. Therefore, a true Muslim should never be worried of any worldly attempt that tries to cause damage to Islam or the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's status. Indeed, the task a true Muslim is commissioned with is to fulfill his responsibility by invoking the durood and blessings upon God's most beloved, complete, perfect and final prophet, just as the angels bestow mercy upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to elevate his rank and station. So this is the responsibility that lies upon a true Muslim. We should join those who help in the progress of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission and follow the practice of God the Almighty and his angels, and thereby invoke countless durood and blessings upon the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In the last Friday sermon, I briefly spoke about the recent incident in France, in which people who call themselves Muslims attacked the office of a magazine, killing 12 people. And I drew attention of the members of the community to invoke durood. The victory of Islam will not be through murder and destruction. Rather, we will succeed in our objectives by invoking the durood upon the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. I also express my concern that in response to the attack, there could be a wrong reaction shown, or there would be a wrong reaction shown, and this is what was to be expected of them. By reacting in the wrong manner, they have once again published the caricatures. This has caused us great pain yet again, as indeed they would hurt the sentiments of any true Muslim. What was achieved by these acts of extremism? The wrongful act that the magazine committed 2 or 3 years ago, which had been forgotten, has once again resurfaced because of the wrong actions of those calling themselves as Muslims. Whatever this magazine has been doing in the past, many Western leaders have strongly reacted against it and condemned it. Many governments said that they would never allow their newspapers to do such a thing. However, after last week's incident, many people and leaders who seem to be intellectual and sensible have announced their support for this appalling magazine, which is now being helped with millions of dollars from various sources. The magazine, which published only 60,000 copies and was said to be on the verge of being completely shutting down and dying out, has now exceeded a print run of more than 5 million in its publication within weeks and days as a result of the wrong actions of those who call themselves Muslims. And now some observers estimate that the publication has been given a new lease of life of further 10 to 12 years, whereas before it may not have lasted for more than 6 months. Therefore, this action has not only fanned a wrongful image of the Islamic teachings in many countries of the world, but in fact it has also resurrected a dying enemy. If only the Muslim organizations that commit atrocities in the name of Islam could understand that Islam's teaching of love and affection can bring the world far quicker into the fold of Islam. The teaching Islam gives on patience and forbearance cannot be matched by any other religion. The worldly people are blind to faith. And let alone prophets, they do not even refrain from mocking God the Almighty. If we respond to the actions of the ignorant with ignorance also, it will only lead them to persist further in their actions. Therefore, God Almighty states that instead of responding to them in kind, you should pass by and distance yourself from these people who are full of vain acts. Not only will socializing with such people or to concur with them make us sinful, but we will too partake in their sin if we respond to the wrongdoer. In the return, they mock or abuse God Almighty or speak against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a degrading term, or in any other way express themselves. Thus, a true Muslim should try to refrain from this. He should try to leave the matter in the hands of God the Almighty, who has stated that when everyone will return to Him, then they will bear the consequences of their actions. Ultimately, one day we will all return to God the Almighty. Then God the Almighty will reveal to them what they had been doing. In this age, the enemy of Islam does not wish to harm Islam, its teachings, and the Holy Prophet with the use of the sword, but rather through using petty and vulgar ploys. God Almighty, by stating that His angels send blessings on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a fundamental principle has been explained, that these actions cannot do any harm to the status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead of indulging in such vain actions and responding in the same ignorant manner, you should invoke the durood and blessings upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a duty of a true Muslim. Fulfill this right, and you will have fulfilled this obligation. As I mentioned before, that those people who are initially against this vulgar magazine are now supporting it in the name of freedom of speech after this incident. However, in spite of this, there are some fair-minded and intellectual people who have disliked the vulgar depictions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereby they have held the management of the magazine responsible. For instance, this magazine, which is called Charlie Hebdo, one of its co-founders, Henry Russell, has said that the images published by the magazine were provocative. And because of this irresponsible act, the editor has dragged his team into death. He also stated that these activities were against their basic policies which they had been doing for the few years. Similarly, the Pope has given a very good statement that freedom of speech should have limits. It does not mean that one should be given complete freedom. He stated that every religion has an honor, and it is important to respect that, and no religion's repute should be attacked. Illustrating the point, he gave the example of his close friend, who organizes his tours. He said that even if he cursed my mother or said something abusive about her, my reaction would be to punch him in the face. And he should expect this reaction from me, that I would punch him. He said, however, it is wrong to provoke someone's emotions, and that is what they have done, and so the blame lies on them. The Pope has indeed given a very true statement. The Muslims also need to come into their senses and should not react wrongly after this. In this age, the media has great influence over the world, and they can play a huge role in either igniting a situation or diffusing it, causing disorder or preventing it. After this incident, it is the first time that here in the UK and other media outlets of the world have asked the Jamaat also for its reaction and viewpoint. Regarding the incident of the killings, we stated that it was an un-Islamic act and expressed our commiseration, but also we maintained that freedom of speech should have limitations. Otherwise, those people will be responsible for causing disorder in the world who inflame others' sentiments. There were many other things also discussed in the press. Among the UK media, there were Sky News, 5 News, BBC Radio, LBC, BBC Leeds, and London Live. Outside of UK, there was Fox, CNN, Canadian newspapers, and similarly, various other newspapers from Greece, Ireland, France, and the United States. They obtained our viewpoints, and some of these interviews took place in the studios. And through this, the true Islamic stance and teaching was conveyed to millions of people. Here in the UK, Amir Sahib and Imam Sahib Atal Majib Rashid Sahib were interviewed by TV channels, as did members of our press teams in the USA and France. There is a press team, and they were invited to various studios and interviewed. And the newspapers also published articles by us, or they gave news with regards to this. All around the world, the press teams in the UK, USA and Canada have done well in discharging their duties of conveying the true Islamic teaching. A Canadian journalist who is a contact of the press team in Canada wrote and asked that the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is a very small sect among the Muslims. Yet what is the reason that they have had the most coverage in the media and conveyed the real teachings of Islam. It is indeed God's decree that the community of the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to convey the true teachings of Islam to the world, which he learned from him. Therefore, as I mentioned in the previous Friday sermon, that it is our responsibility to convey the message within our own sphere and explain that wrong reactions only produce disorder and nothing else. And the current situation of the world will be further inflamed. And this fire will then engulf the entire world from all four corners, which then the world will not be able to withstand. Therefore, neither should people's sentiments be incited by reacting wrongly, and nor should they call out for God Almighty's chastisement. May God Almighty bring the world to its senses. However, alongside this, there is a huge duty upon the Ahmadis to tread along the path that God Almighty has told us, which is of Ya ayyuhallazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, that O ye who believe, you also should invoke blessings on him and salute him with the salutation of peace. Although a Muslim should try his utmost to adhere to the commandments of God the Almighty, and questions such as why and for what reason should not be raised and generally are not, because just as one's faith, religious knowledge, and insight into prayer increases, so too the understanding of the wisdom behind those commandments is attained. However, by seeking knowledge and thus acquiring the wisdom is also a beautiful aspect of the true Islamic teaching. It is also Islam's teaching to seek knowledge and to develop an understanding and insight. In order to form a relationship with God Almighty, one should endeavor in that cause. It is the commandment of God Almighty to acquire knowledge so that the wisdom of God's commandments can be attained quickly, rather than waiting to gradually learn them. If the wisdom and insight of obeying God's commandment is achieved, then as a result of this, the practical application can be done in a better manner. Therefore, in light of this, I shall present some ahadith, sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and extracts of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace's writings, which elucidate the importance and benefits of reciting durood. We claim to love the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of this love, our hearts become perforated when someone utters inappropriate remarks with regards to the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Or this occurs when someone wrongly attributes something towards him. But how should one truly express this love, and how can one truly benefit from it? Hadrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud narrates that the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "On the Day of Judgment, the person who sends the most blessings on me will be the closest to me." Thus, to truly express our love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through which we can attain the closeness of the Holy Prophet, can be achieved by reciting durood. Then Hadrat Anas may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the Day of Judgment, at each dreadful phase of the day, that person will be closest to me who would have sent the most blessings on me in the world. That is, who would have invoked the most durood upon me. He also said that the durood of God the Almighty and His angels was sufficient for me. The practice of invoking durood is only an opportunity given by God Almighty to the believers to attain virtuous deeds for themselves. Then, regarding the proper method of supplication and prayers, Hadrat Azala bin Ubaid, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that he was sitting in the company of the Holy Prophet ﷺ when a man came and offered his salat, his prayers. Then he recited the prayer, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni, O Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me. The Holy Prophet said to him, O worshipper, you have hastened. You should have read your salat and while sitting, first glorified and praised God the Almighty, then invoked durood on me, and then supplicated for whatever you wish for. The narrator states that then another man came, and he first glorified and praised God Almighty, and then invoked the durood upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon this, the Holy Prophet said, Ayyuhal musallat tujib, O worshipper, your supplication shall be answered. Then Hadrat Abdullah bin Umar bin As narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, when you listen to the voice of the Mu'azzin, the one who calls out the prayer, repeat his words and then invoke the durood upon me. The person who invokes durood upon me has tenfold blessings bestowed upon him from God. The Holy Prophet said, ask to seek mediation from me, as this is a status from among the ranks of paradise, and will only be granted to one servant of God, and I have hope that it will be me. Intercession will be permissible for whoever will seek mediation for me. Therefore, the durood increases one's love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but is also important for having our prayers answered and for our forgiveness. That is why Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, has stated that prayer is suspended between the earth and the heavens, and unless durood is invoked on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no part of the prayer goes upwards. The manner in which we should endeavor to recite the durood has been explained by the promised Messiah when he wrote advising one of his followers. That stay focused in invoking durood and seek blessings for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the sincerity and discernment with which one seeks blessings for a dear and close one of his. Seek this with great humility, and there should be no pretense in this humility and prayer. Rather, pray for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the spirit of true friendship and love. Seek those blessings with sincere heart and soul for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are inherent in the durood. It is a sign of personal love that one never tires, is not disheartened, and then invokes durood with no involvement of vested interest, and only recites it for the divine blessings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Then, explaining the wisdom of durood, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, that although the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not in need of anyone's prayers, because as mentioned in the Ahadith, that God Almighty and His angels are sufficient for him. But the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, There is a very profound reason behind invoking the Darood. A person who seeks blessings for another owing to his personal love for him becomes a part of them. When someone seeks blessings and prayers for another person because of his personal love for the other, he then becomes a part of that person's body who he loves. One who invokes blessings upon another through prayers also becomes a recipient of those prayers and attains the same divine blessings and beneficence. And because God's beneficences on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are boundless, anyone who invokes durood on him owing to personal love gets a measure of the boundless blessings. However, very few instances of such spiritual fervor and personal love resulting in such blessings can be seen. Thus, we should try to procure this innate passion. Then, in one place, while stating the reason of reciting Durood Sharif, the promised Messiah on whom be peace says, "Observe the sincerity and faithfulness of our Master and guide the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in how he dealt with every evil scheme. He endured all kinds of difficulties and hardships, yet he remained completely unperturbed by them. It was owing to the sincerity and faithfulness that Allah the Exalted blessed him and stated, 'Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yasalluna 'ala an-nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima.' Allah and His angels send blessings on the Prophet. So, O ye who believe, you also invoke blessings on him and salute him with a salutation of peace." This verse clearly shows that such were the practices of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah the Exalted did not use any special or specific word to praise them or to condense His qualities. Words could be found but were not employed. That is, His blessed practice was far above being condensed in a specific or limited definition. No verse of this kind has been used for the glory of any other prophet. So sincere and pure was his soul, and his practices were so cherished in the sight of God, that Allah the Exalted commanded for the rest of time that people should invoke durood on the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, by way of gratefulness and thankfulness. Then, while stating that Durood Sharif is the means of attaining perseverance and acceptance of prayer, the promised Messiah on whom be peace says, "It became essential to recite Durood in every salat or prayer to enhance and renew love for the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him." So you can achieve a source of steadfastness for the acceptance of this prayer. Durood Sharif is a phenomenal source of attaining steadfastness. Recite it abundantly, not as a ritual or mere routine, but while keeping in view the grace, excellences, and bounties of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Recite it to elevate his station and for his success. As a result of this, you will attain the sweet and delicious fruit of the acceptance of prayer. I will later on explain how these stages are developed and one can advance in them. Then the promised Messiah says, "How blessed is this era!" That merely with His grace Allah the Exalted has willed. Hazur says, there were erroneous things being said at that time also when the promised Messiah stated this. So the promised Messiah continued that merely with His grace, Allah the Exalted has willed that the blessed objective for the manifestation of the greatness of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during these tumultuous days has arranged for the triumph of Islam from the divine and established a movement. I would like to ask those people who have compassion for Islam and who have respect and consideration for it in their hearts, that can they say that there has been a time worse than this, in which such abuse and disrespect of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken place, and the Holy Quran had been so blasphemed? I am then deeply saddened and distressed by the conditions of the Muslims, and at times I get so anxious with the grief that there remains not even enough feeling in them to sense this disgrace. Did Allah the Exalted not regard any honor for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that he would not have established a divine mission? Hazur says, certainly God had regard for the Holy Prophet in light of such insult towards him. But God here did not instruct Muslims to use force and weapons to murder and kill people in response to blasphemy against the Prophet, but rather, it was necessary that God would establish a divine movement to uphold the honor of the Prophet. So the promised Messiah continues, as on this extent of abuse to silence these opponents of Islam and to spread His greatness and purity in the world. Hazur says they would be silenced through arguments and spreading His beautiful teachings rather than by firing guns. The promised Messiah then says, in the event that Allah the Exalted and His angels invoke blessings and salutations on the Holy Prophet, how essential is it to manifest these salutations at this time of abuse? And Allah the Exalted has manifested this in the shape of this mission, in other words, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. Hence, it becomes more of our responsibility that we recite Durood on the Holy Prophet more than before. Thus, the promised Messiah said that he had been sent by God to restore the lost glory of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He further said that he had been sent to demonstrate the truthfulness of the Holy Quran to the world. Hence, it is incumbent upon every Ahmadi to recite Durood Sharif these days, so that we fulfill the objective of the promised Messiah's divine mission and are able to submit to the call of God the Almighty and are able to uphold our claim of love and adoration towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We cannot fulfill the obligations of this love by raising slogans and holding rallies like the non-Ahmadi Muslims do. Today, in order to fulfill this obligation, every Ahmadi should recite Durood Sharif millions and millions of times compassionately from the bottom of their hearts. This Durood will be more effective against the enemy than the bullets from the guns which are fired. Then elaborating on the manner of reciting Durood further, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, writing to one of his followers, wrote, to be profoundly aware that every action is free of being a ritual or force of habit and is instead done with gushing and heartfelt love. Hazur says it should not be done as a mere habit, rather it should be reflective of a passionate love which emanates from the heart. It should be pure of the impurity of mere rituals, and the spirit of love should gush forth instead from within. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, for example, Durood Sharif should not be recited in the parrot-like fashion in which people generally do. They neither have absolute sincerity for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor do they seek blessings for him from God. Rather, it should be one's creed when reciting Durood that love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches the level where one's heart would not even suggest to have the same degree of love for another from the start of time till the end. or consider that a person could come in the future who could surpass such love. This creed can be established by being prepared to endure all imaginable difficulties with sincerity of heart for his love, just as those who love the Holy Prophet endured difficulties out of his love in the past. Hazrat says, love should be shown for the Holy Prophet such that one prevents the thought even emerging after reflection that anyone even appeared before or after the Holy Prophet who could be shown such ardent devotion and love. So the promised Messiah continues, the heart should not be deterred to endure any imaginable, conceivable hardship, and there should be no conceivable commandment from which one would hesitate. One should not have the same love for any other in creation. The promised Messiah says, the heart should not be deterred to endure any imaginable or conceivable hardship, and there should be no conceivable commandment from which one would hesitate to perform. One should not have the same love for any other in creation. Once this creed is established, as I have explained verbally, the promised Messiah is writing this to his follower. Durood Sharif should be recited with the objective of invoking God's complete blessings on his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that he becomes the fountainhead of blessings for the entire world, and that his glory and splendor manifests before mankind, both in this world and in the next. This prayer should be made from the depth of the heart, and with rapture, in the way one would supplicate in agony when facing a personal tribulation. Indeed, one must elevate his supplications even beyond this, and pray in a state of distress and agony, and not consider that he will gain any personal share of the blessings, or gain any rank or status. One should purely recite durood to invoke salutations and blessings on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for his grandeur to illumine in this world and in the hereafter. This requires fortitude and resolute determination as well as constant focus to the extent that one does not long for anything more than this. Thus, durood sharif recited as such surpasses the mere ritual and wondrously manifests its illumination. To identify that one has attained the required focus and concentration during durood, one sign is that one often weeps during it, and feels its impact in the fiber of one's being, and experiences a state in between wakefulness and sleep. Then, writing to one of his followers, regarding prayer, and invoking durood, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, keep engaged in the tahajjud prayer and commonly repeated prayers. There are many blessings in tahajjud. Idleness is completely worthless. An idle and laid-back person carries no value or weight. Then the promised Messiah says that God Almighty says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَحْتِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَلَا. God Almighty says, as for those who strive in our path, we will surely guide them in our ways. The preferred durood is that which was uttered by the blessed tongue of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barak ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. The promised Messiah says, the words said by a pious person certainly have a lot of blessings in them. So thus it should therefore be understood how blessed would be the words uttered by one who is chief of the righteous and the commander of the prophets. In short, from versions of Durood, this one is the most blessed one. This is the chant of this humble person. In other words, the Promised Messiah says, this is the chant of this humble person, and it is not important to restrict it to any amount. It should rather be recited with sincerity, love, and humility, and should be recited until such time that one develops a state of tender-heartedness, is entranced and inspired, feels deep conviction and discernment in the heart. May Allah the Almighty develop this spirit in all of us, and the durood which emits from our hearts may reach the Divine Throne, and may permeate within us. By the grace of Allah, there are many amongst us who recite durood, and they recite it with immense pain, and Allah the Almighty also shows them the benefits as a result. May Allah the Almighty increase the numbers of those reciting durood in the Jamaat in this manner. This will benefit the Jamaat and its progress also. I am greatly fond of Hadhrat Musleh Maud's way of reciting durood. Although some of us recite durood more or less in the same manner, this is such a way that I would like to present before you, due to which, in addition to durood, personal love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam increases in a new way. This develops awareness towards prayers for the progression of the Jamaat. At one place, Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, when we pray for someone else, then in a way this prayer becomes the reason for our own status to be exalted. Therefore, when we recite durood, as a result of this, where the status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is exalted, there our status is also raised, and he receives the reward, and then through him it reaches to us. The example of this is like a sieve. If something is placed in a sieve, then it comes out of it and falls on the cloth underneath it. Similarly, God Almighty has created Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a sieve for the Ummah. At first, God shares his blessings with him, and later we receive those blessings through his intercession and mediation. When we recite durood, and God Almighty subsequently elevates the status of Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then God the Almighty must inform Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this gift is from a particular believer. This gift of durood, which has been recited from the heart, is from a particular believer. This triggers the emotion in the heart of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray for us, and Allah the Almighty shares his blessings with us due to his prayers. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, I say regarding myself that whenever I visit the grave of the promised Messiah on whom be peace to pray, it is my practice to pray first for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then to pray for the promised Messiah on whom be peace. And my prayer is, O Allah, I have nothing that can be presented as a gift to these noble ancestors of mine. The possessions that I have cannot benefit them at all. However, you have everything. So I pray and supplicate before you to oblige me and grant them a gift in paradise on my behalf that they haven't received in paradise until now. Then they must inquire, O Allah, who has sent this gift? When Allah the Almighty will present the gift, then they will surely ask that who has sent this gift. When God the Almighty informs them who sent it, then they pray for that person. And in this way, the status of that person who has prayed is also elevated. And this is proven from the Quran and Ahadith. It is a well-acknowledged core belief of Islam, and no one can deny that the prayers are beneficial for the deceased. The Holy Quran says, فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا. And by doing so, the Quran has directed our attention that when someone presents a gift to you, then you should give a better gift to that person, or at least give that person a gift equivalent to what that person has given. According to this verse of the Quran, when we will pray for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or for the promised Messiah on whom be peace, and invoke durood and salam upon them, then God the Almighty will present to them a gift on our behalf as a result of this prayer. We are not aware of the comforts and rewards of paradise. However, Allah the Almighty is fully aware of these blessings. For this reason, when we will pray that, O our Lord, grant the Holy Prophet a gift which he has never received before this, so certainly when this gift is presented to him, then along with it, God Almighty would inform him that this gift is from a particular person. Then how is it possible that after receiving this information, he stays silent and doesn't pray to exchange gifts? At this, his spirit will fall down upon the threshold of Allah the Almighty and will say, O God, now grant them a better reward from me. In this way, according to Fahayyu bi'ahsana minha, that prayer will return to the person reciting durood and will be a means to raise his status. So without committing any act of shirk, associating partners with God, this is the means through which we ourselves and as a community can benefit. Therefore, by reciting durood and responding this way, both individual and communal benefits can be achieved. Hence, this way is such, as I have already stated before, that it opens the doors to the progression of the Jamaat. When the Jamaat will progress, and the number of those reciting durood on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will increase, so too will the numbers of the opponents. Aside from this, I would like to say something else. Some people ask why Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin and Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin are mentioned separately. In this regard, the explanation in the lexicon is that with regards to language, as-salat also means reverence. On this basis, the meaning of the prayer Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin would be that, O Allah, exalt the praise of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world and grant his message prosperity and victory, and grant him nobility by ordaining permanence and continuance to his sharia. Whereas accept intercession in favor of his ummah in the hereafter and grant them nobility through multiplying their rewards and blessings. This has been mentioned in some of the passages from the excerpts of the Promised Messiah on whom be peace in great detail, however not according to the lexicon. Then, further, in the hadith, the words Barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammadin are mentioned regarding the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The meaning of this is, O Allah, whatever respect and nobility the great eminence you have ordained the Holy Prophet, establish it for him and grant it permanence and eternity. Make it everlasting. Hence, in summary, in Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin, there is a prayer for the victory and eternal establishment of his sharia and benefit from his intercession in favor of his ummah. And in Allahumma Barik, there is a prayer regarding the everlasting establishment of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's respect, dignity, glory, and eminence. May Allah the Almighty enable us to recite durood in the true manner, and through this durood, where we are recipients of Allah's nearness, we are also those who continuously progress in the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we are those who employ their abilities for the work of spreading his sharia. That we are those who, according to the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, play their roles in terminating mischief and disorder from this world. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to do so. I will lead two funeral prayers in absentia. The first one is of Mukarram Mulvi Abdul Qadir Sahib Dilvi Darvesh Qadian, who passed away on 10th January 2015 at the age of 97 years. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The deceased was the son of Dr. Abdul Rahim Sahib, companion of the Promised Messiah on whom be peace. He passed the exam of Maulvi Fazil from Madrasa Ahmadiyya. In Qadian, he got the opportunity to serve under the following offices. In the Department of Darvesh, he was General Secretary in Mohalla Ahmadiyya Qadian. For a long period of time, he was a Naib Nazir Dawat wa Tabliq and Mu'avin Nazir Ala. He was Nazim Jaidad, Qazi Silsila Auditor Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya, Secretary Beheshti Makbara, and Naib Sadr Ansarullah. An article by Maulvi Sahib was published in the magazine Mishkat under the title Dastan-e-Darvish, Bazban-e-Darvish, in November 2003. In this article, he stated that Hadhrat Mir Muhammad Ishaq Sahib, who used to teach us Hadith Sharif in a higher class at Madrasa Ahmadiyya, and he used to love me, said submit an application to go to Egypt for education. I submitted an application to the administration, the office. They replied, the person who can't afford a passport, for what reason will he go to Egypt? I shared this with Hadhrat Mir Sahib. He says, 2 days later, I saw in a dream that Hazrat Maulvi Sher Ali Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, came and says, Abdul Qadir Misr. I shared this dream with Hazrat Mir Sahib as well. Coincidentally, this was during the Second World War and young men were being enlisted on behalf of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. I represented the Jamaat and enlisted in the Army's Department of Supply. Soldiers used to get 7 to 10 days off for vacation to rest. In this way, by joining the army, he travelled to Egypt. So he says that to spread his vacation days, this humble one preferred to travel to Rome instead of returning to India. There, to the right of the church, was a big hall. People told me upon my inquiry that once a week on Mondays, the Pope delivers an address and visits his followers. The Pope comes there in Rome. He says it was Monday. He says, I also went to that hall. People were standing in a circle there. He delivered an address on world peace due to the world war ongoing. Afterwards, he was going through the crowd to exit. He says that I raised both my hands to meet him as he was passing close by. The Pope put his hands on mine and stopped. I delivered the message of Islam to him while holding his hand, and informed him about the second advent of the Messiah, that he, alayhi salam, has appeared, and Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian has claimed to be the promised Messiah. I have accepted him and invite you to accept him as well. He was pleased to hear me, and afterwards all the American and European visitors gathered around me and praised my courage. I conveyed the message to them as well and wrote the details of my meeting with the Pope to Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih II. This incident of propagation of Islam to the Pope has been recorded in the Book of History, Tariqe Ahmadiyyat, Volume 10, under the subheading Propagation of Islam to the Pope during the period of Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih II. In this article, he has also stated three of his faith-inspiring incidents of acceptance of prayer and divine assistance. In 1969, he was able to perform Hajj. The deceased has 3 sons and 4 daughters, all of them received higher education despite the economic hardships. All of them reside in foreign countries. Ismail Nuri Sahib, his eldest son, had the opportunity to serve under various Jamaat offices in Germany. He was his first son, born during the Dervishi time period. It is stated that his wife had passed away several years ago, and he used to live by himself, and thus his daughters invited him to Germany, but he replied that this should not be mentioned to him again. He spent years and years of his life in Qadian all alone, and until his last breath he was blessed to fulfill his oath of Darvish. He was a Musi, and he was buried in Beheshti Makbara, Qadian, in the section of Darvishan. May Allah the Almighty exalt his status and enable his children to follow in his footsteps. The second funeral is a respected Mubarika Begum Sahiba, wife of Bashir Ahmed Sahib Hafiz Abadi, the deceased. She passed away on 3rd January 2015 at the age of 83. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Her father, Mukarram Shafi Ahmed Sahib Marhum, the deceased, Modha, was president of UP. After 1947, due to the partition of the country and the circumstances then, Hadhrat Muslim Aur instructed the Darveshan to get married in India since it was difficult to arrange marriages in Pakistan. Under these instructions, Mukarram Bashir Ahmed Sahib Hafiz Abadi received a marriage proposal, a rishta, from UP in 1951. She was very particular of fasting and salat. Mubarika Begum Sahiba was a virtuous and sincere lady. She presented her jewellery upon Jamaat's appeal for donations. She spent long, tough Darveshi years with her husband, showing immense patience and gratitude. She supported him in all circumstances. Nowadays, the conditions are much better. Initially, it was a very difficult time for the Darvesh people. She was very much affiliated and connected with Khilafat. Her deceased son, respected Munir Ahmed Sahib Hafiz Abadi, is Wakil-e-Ala Tehreek-e-Jadeed in Qadian and President of the Management Committee of Fazl-e-Umar Press. He is a Waqf-e Zindagi, a life devotee. The other son practices medicine and three daughters are in Pakistan. Two of them were present there at the time of her death. The deceased was a Musia. She is buried in Beheshti Makbara. May Allah the Almighty exalt her status. May Ahmadiyyat not only continue amongst her children and progeny, rather may they partake in it exceedingly and progress in their faith and belief.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.